Okay. Welcome to this music skills workshop for lower grades. I'm just going to read the description of what was on the paper that I was given. Music is something most of us enjoy. Certain skills can be a blessing to help us learn new songs, understand old songs, and perhaps even create our own songs. So that's the framework I was given. My name is Charity Nolt. I'm from Ephrata, Pennsylvania, but I have taught the last 6 years in Milton Freewater, Oregon, at Blue Mountain Mennonite School. And some of my co-teachers are here as well. So I've taught grade levels 2 to 6, but 4th grade is the one I've had the most. So maybe that's kind of the level I'm hitting the most. But last year I had 2nd grade, so that's what's most recent in my mind. So it gives you an idea a little bit what grade levels I'm talking about here today. And this coming term I'm planning to have grades 4 and 5. I grew up in a singing family and have loved music for a long time, and I enjoy teaching music and singing with my students, but I really struggled in preparing for this class for some reason. I don't know. It's one thing to enjoy doing something, it's another thing to try to pass it on to other people. I told some people, like some ladies, you know, how do you keep your house? Well, you just kind of do it. And so I just struggled in trying to write things down, but I will try my best. But my goal for this class is to inspire you to take the love of singing back to your students. And so I would love to hear feedback from you. If you have questions, don't be afraid to ask them. If you have other ideas, please share. I'll try to give time. And yeah, just I want this to be an interactive class. I don't just want to lecture you the whole time. So why do we even bother teaching music? Did you ever think about it that music is one of the few school subjects that the Bible commands us to do? It is also one of the few school subjects we will do in heaven. I often heard people talk about how many times the Bible tells us to sing, and you know, you hear that. But I was amazed when I was studying for this. I just looked up sing, and I was very amazed at how many verses came up. This direct commands, I have a few of them listed here. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. Sing aloud unto God our strength. Make a joyful noise unto the God of Jacob. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And then also a lot of places where singing is a response for what God has done for us, or who he is. I will sing unto the Lord, because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Be thou exalted, Lord, in thine own strength. So will we sing and praise thy power. But I will sing of thy power, yea, I will sing aloud of thy mercy in the morning, for thou hast been my defense and refuge in the day of my trouble. But why teach music? Why can't we just sing? I'm going to quote my sister Kristen. She's given some music talks already, and I got a few quotes from her that I liked. The primary reason for music education is because God commands us to sing. We can get calloused toward the scriptures in the area of music. Maybe it's because music can be controversial. We have many opinions about what music is worthy of our time and what is appropriate for worship. And some people do enjoy it more than others. However, just as some people must cultivate patience while others must cultivate love, so some may need to work harder than others at developing musical abilities. Yet music must be developed in obedience to God's word, which commands us to sing over and over. We sometimes put singing into the category of personal preference. It's for those who have natural talent. What is that? Or for those who like it. Our goal as teachers should be to give each child the gift of singing. We do this with other subjects. We don't expect every child to become an author or a mathematician, but we understand that they will be severely hindered if they do not learn the skills of reading and arithmetic. So we teach them whether or not they enjoy the subject. Likewise, not every child must pursue music as a lifelong career, but every child must be taught how to sing. So that, quoting Kristen Nolt. So music is similar to language. If you ever thought about it, that we talk long before we learn how to read words. And we also can sing without knowing how to read music. But in the same way that we learn how to read and it enriches our life, I think learning how to read music can also enrich our lives in more than just singing. So to continue the analogy between reading and music, learning to read words and music, we move beyond having students circle and color a bunch of A's on a paper to to having them hear it and interact with the sound and how it sounds with other letters. In the same way, teaching music is more than just getting through the music book and having the students know what a do looks like. They need to experience it, hear it, and interact with it. So I got this idea from someone else, Wendy Good, actually, years ago, but I liked her goal for music class with her students, and so I've tried to use it to guide my music class, and I have it on your papers there. So what are the skills a person needs in order to pick up a hymn book from our church benches and learn a new song? So most of our churches, I'm guessing, have we have song books that have four parts written. And so what are the things, the tools we can give our students to be able to just get comfortably sing or lead and learn new songs from the books that we use most often? And if we can give our students those basic tools, they can take it further. They can become songwriters or whatever. So, first of all, a few words about the actual music class. How many of you love teaching music class? Okay, great. I don't always. I haven't always. If you're someone who likes order like I do, music class can be a kind of a frustration. For some reason, students, it's more of a relaxed class, and so they think they can just have lots of fun and forget that, oh yeah, it's just frustrating for the teacher. So I've tried to tell them, remind them, and keep order myself, but just the same rules that we have in math class apply to music. And if you can learn to focus and listen well and not just get silly, you actually end up having more fun in the end than if you just have it as a free-for-all. It's easier said than done sometimes, but don't be a killjoy, though. Have fun, but keep it structured. Another thing that probably most of you run into is multiple grades at the same time. That can kind of be hard to fit in all the different music classes. I often just do one big music class with all the grades and just do the review with everybody. It doesn't hurt the older ones to review what the younger ones are learning, and it doesn't hurt the younger ones to start learning a few things before they get to it. And then at the end of class, if you need to, I often just go over the new part for the older ones. But as far as music class, I just do all the grades at the same time for the most part. So moving into the curriculum a little bit, I made a mistake on your handout. So CLE is the one I've used most. How many of you use that currently? Okay. How about Rod and Staff? I think that's what we had in school. With Glad Voices. That's one that Joe and Fern Ebersole made, kind of based on the Kodai method. And then I left Sing for Joy. I was going to take it off. It's a new one that's just coming out. I really don't know anything about it. Shenandoah Christian Music Camp is working on it. So another thing I really like to use is the set of flashcards from Rod and Staff publishers. You can use them for all grade levels, and they have all the key signatures, lines and spaces, all kinds of, the different notes. And so you can, like I said, use them for various grade levels, and my students like to do races with them. So I will now have my first 10 students come up here. And we could this aside. And don't be scared. And if you don't know it, no one will laugh at you. They're just all seven more. Okay, so let's have five on one team and five on the other team right here. And you're all very well behaved students. Seeing him run a little bit more. Try not to bang that. It looks like I need three more people. Thank you. Okay, so. So the first two people are going to race. If you don't get it, you get a second chance. If you get it, you get the card and go to the back of the line. Okay. Ready? And that was your second chance, and you go to the back.
Oh, okay.
The lines and spaces. Oh. Did you see it? Did you see the next card?
No.
Okay. Two.
Black.
Still.
Half red.
Sorry, she was right.
Oh, yeah,
right. Okay, then we could count up the cards on each team. So how many? Two.
Two.
Four. Looks like you all won.
12 for this.
Okay, good job. Thank you for being brave. So those are the flash cards. They're two-sided, so they have all kinds of stuff. Is that for a lot of drills? Some songbooks I use a lot, the phrases we sing, a lot of you are familiar with this one. It's a good variety of songs. That's why I like it. They have children's songs, but they have some hymns and bigger songs. Silver Gems is another one. We use a lot when I was in school. 142 songs. Anyone familiar with this one? You know the last song? Yep. We used to always pick that one. This praise of week, our hymns of praise, this is another great one. One thing I like about this one, they have songs that have the soprano and alto, or soprano and alto, kind of just nice, easy arrangements for children. This is a Sing the Story, Sing the Journey. It's a set. There's a hymnal called a worship book, and so these are supplements to that. The thing I like about these, they have songs from different countries. They have some African songs, Spanish, and just maybe some spirituals and some newer songs you might not find some other places. Rounds. I put all the information they had for it in there. They didn't have an address, just gospel publishers. I didn't look if you can find it online. But Geraldine Kane, if you say her name. Just a lot of ground. And then just a lot of, there's plenty of songbooks. I think you all have access to a lot of them. Those are just some of the children's ones that I like. And then this book, Praise and Practice, I recommend a lot for, it has a lot of music drills. It's published by Eternite Publications. And the thing that's nice, they have it arranged in different levels of easy and hard, level one. They just like notes that are beside each other in the scale, then they do one that jumps, like do, mi, so, and so on. So it just has all kinds of different music practice drills. So those are some of the resources I like to use. Okay, we're going to move into the next section of some of the music skills we like to work on, or the things I thought of when it comes to my overarching goal of what do students need to know in order to learn songs out of our hymn book. So let's, first of all, practice the scale a lot. Just the more you can get it internalized in their head, it's just a great foundation. And do a lot of the do, mi, sol, do intervals. I didn't write it down, but do, mi, sol, la. Just if you practice that a lot, it's what helps you when you go to learning to read music. So let's stand. And we'll just take the scale. We'll go up to do and come right back down. We won't hold up. Hold on the do. Do, do, re, mi, fa, la, la, si, do, si, la, so, fa, mi, re, do. And try it on different keys. Do, do, re, mi, fa, so, la, si, do, si, la, so, fa, mi, re, do. And let's start it a third apart. So just kind of make a line down the middle here. Make two groups, if you can squish over this way a little bit more. And we're going to have you all start and go up to mi, like the mi above, and hold it, and you all are going to go up and stop on do. And then we'll come back down, and you stop on mi when we come back down. We'll just make a chord at the end. So, start over here.
Do, do, re, mi, and do, la, si.
Stuff like that, just starting them on do mi, or to start, you can try a different thing, make some weird sounds. I mean, that sounded pretty, you were making nice chords, but you can do all kinds of stuff. Just that can teach them, it's the beginnings of harmony. And just for fun, you can sing the scale on other syllables, do, lu, or mu. Let's sing it on mu.
So, mu, 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 mu.
Okay, you may be seated. Another thing that I think is good, especially for younger ones, is listening to which notes are higher. It's kind of amazing how hard it is for them to actually say which is higher. So you can just sing two notes. Do, mi. So which one was higher?
Me.
Me. Or you can just do it with two tones. Do, do. So which one was lower? Do, do. Which one was higher? Do, do. And things like that. And the next thing is you can putting the notes on your body. When we talk about things teachers like to talk about it. Teachers' meetings is the different styles of learning. So you have people that learn best by hearing, people that learn best by seeing, and people that learn best by doing. And so the goal is to combine as many of those ways of learning in all your subjects. And so here's where you can do it in music. So let's stand. And so this is just a suggestion for how you can do it. It's you can make up your own. But some of this is borrowed from that with glad voices. But you might just want to put your papers down. But so is on your shoulders. And the ones that are highlighted are the five important notes of the scale, or the do, mi, so, la, do. It's what you start with for a lot of children's songs. A lot of children's songs are based on those. And so we're just going to do some of those. We're not going to go into re and fa and so on. So sol is on your shoulders, and then la is on the top of your head. Mi is at your waist. Do is at your knees. Anyway, so I'm going to do a pattern, and you repeat it after me. So we'll start with so. I'll sing it, and then you all sing it back to me. I don't know if you can all see me or not. But so is on your shoulders, and me is at your waist. So me, so me.
So me, so me.
So as you can see, your hands are moving with the sound, and so I've found it's actually pretty helpful for students. They can, their hand is going down when the sound is going down. So let's do some more. So, la, so, mi, so.
So, la, so, mi, so.
So we like to take turns, letting them come up with a pattern, and then everyone else has to copy. Or sometimes I would just do a pattern, and then they have to sing it to me. So I'll try that for you. Can y'all see it? I'll do it a little more clearly. I'll just do the same one. And one more.
So me, do me, so.
And like I said before, if you can really practice the do me so interval, which we added la in there, but just doing a lot of that, I've been amazed at how it helps them get in their heads which notes are higher. And the more we practice it, the better they get at doing longer patterns and things like that. We just can have a lot of fun with that. You may be seated. Another way to use that in aesthetic learning is these hand signs, which if you've done some of the Kodai method, you'll recognize them. I have it in your handout, but it's just a sign that goes with each note of the scale, and the high do isn't shown, but it's just another fifth like that. And here again, you start the low do around your waist, and then the high do is up. So it also does shows the notes going up. And you put your hand higher, and so on. So let's try this one together. The pictures are the way you look at your own hand. So if you just think of you're looking at your fist, you're looking at your hand on the side, that's how it looks facing you. So let's stand and let's just do it together. Like I said, we've been mostly doing the do mi so do ones, and so I'm actually kind of rusty on the fas and res for this exercise. But we can try it all together here.
Do do re mi fa.
Around, you may be seated. I'm going to teach you around, and maybe tomorrow we'll do more with it. We'll just start with the basics of it. But it goes like this, and we'll practice it with the hand signs. But here, I guess I will need to do my re and fa.
Do, do, re, re, do, re, do.
Want you to sing it after me?
Do, do, re, re.
On the board. Two teams, I'll And then I also like to practice note value at the same time, so I'll say, draw a do quarter note. And so they have to draw, they have to have two things that they're thinking of. They're drawing the do and as a quarter note, or re, half note. And yeah, just have fun with some competition. Sounds like somebody else planned it too. Okay, I think my note, hopefully. My notes, yeah. Okay, harmony. One way to teach harmony, or the beginnings of harmony, is to sing lots of rounds. And that gets you used to singing a part on your own, and being confident in singing something that's different than the person beside you, which soprano alto, you're still singing the same words, but it's a good way to start. And teach them to keep the beat steady. Sometimes when you sing rounds, it's just like a race to see which group gets done first, and yeah, we sang this round. But the beauty of a round is the actual hearing the parts and staying in the same rhythm and hearing how the harmony actually interacts with each other. So let's stand. I copied a few songs in the back. We'll do Pray, Pray Every Day. And so I'm going to talk about this in a bit, but when I talk about keeping the beat steady, I practice a lot, even during morning devotions, just having them tap the beat against their legs. And that's where I start with beat. So let's do that. What is the number? I lost my feet. Fast learner. So we're going to just tap against your leg, hopefully you have enough space. We're going to sing this song. Do you know this one, Row Your Boat, Pray, Pray Every Day? I forget the pitch, I'll just do this.
Pray, pray every day, all along the way. The more you pray, the less you say, the better it will pay.
And so, yeah, like I said, keep tapping it. It helps them stay a little more in rhythm, but let's try it with two groups, I guess. Can you just do your same groups and we'll let this side start first? We'll go through it twice. Why don't you go ahead and start tapping together a while? So you can get all in the same.
Pray, pray every day, all along the way.
That's just what I do a lot for rounds and even other songs as they're learning it. You may be seated. One way, if you want to start teaching alto, like, or I guess I have it here, I would say don't start too young. Simply, I think it's really good to have a good melody foundation before you try to do too many parts, but it is fun to push them a little bit and... Yeah, and like I enjoy teaching them at least a little bit of harmony and I guess second grade did last year, so second and third, and then for sure by fourth, fifth, sixth did more. One way I've done it is if you teach them all the alto notes first, and then once they learn the alto notes, they get it ingrained in their head. They don't even necessarily know the soprano line, which we're going to do it with Praise to God and Mortal Praise. It's a very familiar tune. But you could do it on a new song, if you know the alto. But, because when you know the soprano to a song, and then trying to learn alto can be kind of hard because you just want to sing the soprano. But if you actually learn the alto first, it becomes ingrained in your brain, and then not as hard to learn that soprano on top of it. So you may stand again, and we're going to sing the alto note to Praise to God and Mortal Praise. And something else. So we'll go ahead and tap. The beat is going to be slower this time. And so one thing you can notice, look for is the places where you sang, where you tapped more than once on a note. Okay, so we'll sing the alto notes. Those are the second notes from the top. Heartbeat of the song. If you think of a beat as the heartbeat, your heartbeat is steady and it stays in rhythm, hopefully. And it just is a continuous, I mean, it's just a steady beat. So let's, I didn't copy Lorda and Fondly earnestly longing, did I? If you know that one by heart. Okay. So let's all stand. And you may put your papers down. We'll go ahead and clap the beat for this one. Your hand. We won't bother doing the chorus, let's just sing the verse. steady the whole way through. And then when you get into rhythm, rhythm is like we did yesterday in Joy to the World. You could, it sounds really weird to sing Joy to the World, the Lord has come, without any rhythm. And so when you want to practice rhythm, you can tell your students it's like catching the words as they come out of your mouth, or catching each syllable. So let's sing that same song. And so we're just going to catch each syllable as it comes out of our mouth. So you'll hear the difference in the clapping than what we just did. So let's try it.
Lord, I am falling earnestly longing into thy holy presence to grow, thirsting for more and deeper communion, yearning thy love more fully to know.
Okay, so that was the difference between the rhythm and the beat. And so now we're going to try two groups. Do you want to be the beat or the rhythm? Okay, we'll have you guys be the beat, so you're going to go back to just the heartbeat, and we'll have you all do the rhythm. So listen to the people in your group. If you're scared, just listen to the people beside you. We're going to take some of the stuff we can roll over into tomorrow's class, I guess. You may be seated. These cards are borrowed from the Whistle-Eyed Voices curriculum. They teach rhythm with the strokes. They call stroke by itself is called ta. And so let's just say them together. Ta, 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 ta. And then when you have this kind of thing, it's called ta-di. And so,
ta-di, 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 ta-di.
And then, a Z is when you're sleeping, the rest. These are all the building blocks of quarter notes, eighth notes, quarter rest. And so, we'll just say, shh, when we get to that one. So,
ta, 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 shh. Ta-di, ta, ta-di, ta. Tari, 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 ta.
And let's do two groups. We'll do the same groups. And let's do it together.
Ta, tari, ta, ta.
And hopefully you're on the same rhythm that we did. We stayed at the same place together on the top. Okay, let's do that one more time.
Tari, tari, ta, ta.
And it's just a fun way to practice different kinds of rhythm. And then, when you want to go to the next level, you combine the so, me that we were doing earlier, so, me, and la on your body with doing the rhythm. So let's stand. You might want to put your papers down. So we're just going to sing it, but as you're singing it, think of if you should be saying like a ta, short, or a ta-di. Anyway, that wasn't a very good way of explaining. Okay, we'll do so. So, right there.
So, la, so, me. So, la, so, me.
Very good. Do that one again.
So,
neat way for them to start learning quarter notes and eighth notes, and they don't even realize it. And we have a lot of fun with these cards as well. Like I said, these are borrowed from Whistle-Eyed Voices. So, like I also said, I use CLE, but I like to pull in some of the. I would really like to do more of Whistle-Eyed Voices. The thing that I found with that, it takes a lot of teacher studying and preparation, and I just didn't have time. And so I just tried to pull in some things from that. You may be seated. We have about 5 minutes left. I can keep going. Oh, one thing I wanted to say. With these notes that you were singing, they might sound kind of familiar to you because we do them. We have those in a lot of children's songs, like I said. Ring around the rosy. It's that same tone. The birds upon the treetops. Once you start listening for it, you'll find in a lot of children's songs just those five do mi so la do five notes.
What are those flashcards called?
They come with the set when you. Oh, I didn't show this. They come with this. I think if you go online, you can find. Does anybody know? Are they just called? Is it called Takadimik cards? I think that whole, like the ta. That system, do they do it for all the notes? I think it's called Takadimik, T-A-K-I-D-I-M-I. And so you might be able to find Takadimik rhythm cards, or I guess make your own. Sorry, they came with that set, so I'm not sure. Are there any other questions on anything, or any other ideas that you want to share? Yes, we will do the thing that I got Heather to come. She was looking forward to this. Okay, I'll talk about beating time a little bit. Because this is also something that I wouldn't push terribly hard in younger grades. I just kind of do it for my own fun because I think it's kind of fun to teach them. But I also start with 2-2 timing, and we start by swinging our arms. So let's stand. And we'll do the song children sing. I think you pretty much all know that song. But it's a 2-2 timing, so 2-2 is just, it's like bouncing a ball or just swinging your arms. It's that easy. So let's just sing through it a little bit.
Children sing, happy praises to our King. Gladly raise, joyful songs of praise.
So we'll stop, but that's just the first thing we do. If they can get into swinging their arms at the same time, they're on a good start. Or we'll stand in a circle and hold hands and just all, you can see it going in and out. Another thing I do is just, when I'm first doing it, I just stand with my back to them because if I face them, the pattern's opposite, you know, it's like a mirror. So I just say trace my hand in the air, and so I'll do a really large pattern and just, you know, down, up, down, up. You may be seated. I was going to try to work through the steps a little more, but then when we go to 4-4, I usually just start with chanting the rhythm a lot, or even 2-2, just down, up. But 4-4, I can do down, in, out, up. You can do down, left, right, up, but some of them, left. Oh no. Anyway, if you say in toward your body, out away from it. So let's chant that a little bit together, and this at the end here. I'm gonna show. Do you want to do it too, Lisa? No. Tracing out on the board. This is one of their favorite things. I don't know if you would reach it. When we're learning, I write the pattern on the board, and then while the rest of the class is chanting it, somebody gets to trace it with chalk, and it wastes chalk. It's very dusty, but they have a lot of fun doing it. So let's stand, and I'm gonna partway through. We'll start singing. Maybe just this section. All of you are gonna sing. Chant. Let's just start chanting. We're gonna do down, in, out, up, and then we'll start singing All I Need at some point. This is a good song for quarter notes. So let's just practice first.
Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up. Down, in, out, up.
I can see very easily who's actually staying with the pattern, because when they do it in the air, it can be kind of hard. It can be harder to see, but you can see exactly whether or not they're getting it, and then we take turns switching off, and poor Mr. Lena has chanting timing more times than she would like to have heard it. But so that's a little bit how I go about teaching timing. Thank you for helping us. I was going to have some more of you help with it and so on. But. So that's all I have for now. We can talk if you have questions tomorrow. You're not forced to come back. But yeah, thank you for coming, and I hope that you are inspired to take some love of singing back to your students.